Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of the Wellness Ultimatum Radio Show. I'm your host, Omar Cumberbatch. Today's guest is Holly Kelly. Holly has a bachelor's degree in journalism, minor in psychology, and a master's degree in applied gerontology. She's also a credentialed professional gerontologist awarded through the National Association of Professional Gerontologists. She's the founder of the Ladder Life Planning Institute, which offers products and services that enrich and inspire mature living and strategically help prepare people for life's inevitable destiny. She focuses on ladder life issues and offers consulting services, performs public speaking, writing, and launches other initiatives related to aging and the end of life matters. Holly, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Oh, my goodness, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be your guest.
Oh, no, my pleasure, my pleasure. And I know that this topic is very, 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 very difficult for many people. But when I saw what you do and how you do it, I was very, very excited to share this with my audience because it's a very important part of life. And I can't wait to hear how you break this down to make it more palatable for everybody. So just give us a little bit of background about yourself and how in the world you got into this particular topic.
Well, you're right. It is often a topic that people would prefer to ignore and not really consider. And yet there is this omnipresent aspect that every single one of us and all living things will eventually have to deal with this. And we will eventually depart ways from our familiar existence. And so I found it to be a very important matter to address. And during my gerontological studies, I became extremely aware and interested in advanced directives and the statistics where people fail to plan. And it was shocking to me that something so simple was overlooked. So I recognized there were so many barriers that were preventing successful completion of these legal documents. And it was time for my capstone, and I decided that I would do a written work and try to create something that would close the disconnect. And instead of writing about the problem, I set out to try to fix the problem and do something that would encourage people to actually conduct this kind of planning. So in the process, I came up with what I created as comprehensive advanced care planning, and I realized this topic was still a taboo topic about planning for the end. So I worked really hard, Omar, to make it fun and to make it a journey and interesting and enjoyable.
And you definitely do it. Definitely reading the book, you do get that feel that you do make it a light issue, and it's very easy. And I very much recommend the book just for the workbook aspect alone. Can you get into why you made it in a workbook form?
Well, I recognize that there's a lot of information out there that tells people how to go about doing certain things they want to accomplish in their life, and I didn't really want to be another book doing that. I wanted to create and promote action, and I wanted people to really recognize why this was important and understand the need. But I also knew that the need wasn't getting people to do it, so I decided that the way I could draw people in was to make the book more than just completing legal documents and really cover the personal and emotional, spiritual aspects of our important life affairs. And so through doing that, I made it reader engaged. And it's a book that really my name is on the cover, but when the reader finishes the book, they are actually the final author of this book, and they make it theirs through completing their bucket list and kick the bucket list and the various planning facets and sharing their detailed life story and young memories and all of the special things that are incorporated into this book allow the reader to really face their existing life today and define it, as well as accept what is to come and find peace with it. And it's no longer scary. And so when you've worked your way through the book, while it is about planning for the end, people that work this book say they are absolutely inspired to live life through their bucket list. And so that was the goal.
Yeah, and you definitely do get that feeling. And I definitely want to talk about the bucket list in a second, and especially kick the bucket list. I thought that was interesting take on stuff as well. But I definitely think we have to talk about why should we plan for death, period. I know it might seem obvious to many, but you recommend it at any age, any time in life, you should definitely plan for death.
True, because we just don't know, first of all. And, you know, we pass highways every day and we see crosses on the side of the road. And I would venture to say that all of those crosses, obviously, are someone very loved that was lost. And more importantly, they were lost untimely. And that was a traumatic family loss for those that loved that individual and unexpected. So we do know that accidents happen and untimely passing occurs. But we all fear that day and how it's going to come, when it's going to come, if it's going to come anytime soon. So I address that in the book. We talk about the fears. In fact, the reader themselves writes down their own fears. And in doing that, they are able to realize that through thoughtful planning, it's not so scary anymore, and that you have actually put a plan in place. All the things you worried about, you have resolved. You've taken care of them. You've thought about who would be there to raise your children in the event of your unfortunate passing, and you have a plan in place. And so it is so important that people plan. When you think of the news in our history, and you think of Terry Schiavo and Karen Ann Quinlan and what those families went through and the legal ordeals that subsequently happened, it happens every day. Those were highly televised cases, but every day across the world, people are experiencing infighting and disagreements over how to deal with someone that hasn't planned.
No, definitely, definitely. And one of the things that I found really interesting in your book, and I just didn't think about it, is like, how do you come to the decision on who should actually handle your affairs?
It's a difficult decision, and a lot of people, you know, by not doing anything, just leave that to default of whoever would, you know, come next in line legally. But I do say in the book that this is a extremely important decision for you to make, and to really take time assessing who is really ready for that high and huge responsibility. Who could emotionally handle that? Who could carry out your wishes that are simply that, your wishes, even if they differ from that individual's wishes, would they honor them? And so it is so important to make good decisions about who you would choose to make medical decisions in the event you became incapacitated, and that you share that information with your family and loved ones as to who that is. I mean, this isn't a great job for someone, but it certainly is an important one, and you're carrying out a supreme responsibility on someone else's behalf. And so sometimes it's not who most of society would say it should be, because maybe that particular person would find it too emotionally grueling. Maybe they have differing views from you and just wouldn't feel that they could carry them out in good conscience. And so you've raised an important point, Omar, in that a lot of consideration should go into whom we pick for this all-important job that we hope they'll never be faced with.
Yeah, no, that part was really, really interesting. And I'm sure that has a fighting component to it possibly as well. I mean, you've heard situations where if it was a married couple, it wasn't the husband or it wasn't the wife. Like, how does someone even relay that message? Like, you know, I'd rather have so-and-so do this as opposed to someone who you were married to or something like that.
Right. And clearly you read the book, because I do have a story in there about a husband and wife and how it just went sideways in that particular situation when it did fall to the husband in that scenario. And so I think it is important that you have your paperwork done, because it is a written document that has witnesses, and much of what you do will also be legal documents that will be honored. And so by choosing that person in that format, you've certainly given them the authority to act on your behalf. But it is also important that you do share with family who is going to be that decision maker, because what you'll find is somebody will say, okay, this is what we're doing, and the other person will say, no, she didn't want that. She never wanted that. Oh, yes, she
right.
did. She told me she did. No, she wanted a burial. No, she wanted a cremation. And it's all over the place. So when you've had that conversation with everybody and said, I've shared my wishes with so-and-so, they know what I want, and they're going to carry it out, it's kind of end of discussion, and that they know that you've acknowledge that, and they're going to honor it.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And I think that you definitely kind of gave me a nice segue into all the different types of options that people have. Like, one thing that I noticed about the book, I mean, we always have this idea that it's just, say, burial and cremation. Can you tell the audience a little bit more about the options that they might have after passing?
Yes, and in the rewrite of that book, I think I would say burial or cremation, or both, because you can be cremated and buried. And so there's many alternative burials today and many ways to celebrate a life and to engage in a incredibly different final farewell, from green burials to ashes to outer space. You can orbit the atmosphere. There's reef burials, sea burials. There is jewelry that people make, and the ashes are incorporated into the jewelry. There's cryogenic freezing. There's scientific donation, plastination, and memorial works of art. So there is so many different ways that are non-traditional, but that are becoming more popular ways for people to depart.
Yeah, that was really interesting. How does one get a little bit more information about those particular options, like, say, the green option? Like, I found that one pretty interesting.
Yes, and green burials are becoming more and more popular. So if people just simply do a search for what facilities would be offering a green burial, then those will populate, and they can explore. Maybe if there is someone near where they would like to be laid to rest that is offering that type of service. Not all cemeteries and funeral homes offer that type of service, and so you would look that up and see where you would go about accessing information on the ones that you're interested in.
Yeah, no, that is very good to know that, you know, you have the options for a lot of different types of burial. I just wanted to talk about cost for a second. And it's actually a two-part question. It's like, what does it cost monetarily to avoid planning for death, and whether or not even that has additional costs as well?
Well, the costs vary depending on what someone wants, but it is often a lot more expensive at the last minute when planning's not in place. So I do address in the book pre-planning endeavors and how you could prepay for whatever services you desire. And that's a wonderful thing to do for your family, because certainly if they're financially comfortable, something unforeseen happens, it does throw off people's budgets. So everybody does appreciate when something's pre-planned and that siblings or family members aren't pooling funds together to try to give the farewell that they, in good conscience, feel is deserved. And it puts them in a precarious situation, because they often want to spend more and make it more elaborate than perhaps they can financially afford to do. So there's a little guilt there, too. So pre-planning is often a good thing, and I give very good tips in the book for doing that. And if you do it ahead of time, most of what you implement is something that you pay for over a period of time. When you work your way through the book, certainly doing the workbook, if you keep things simple, costs nothing but your time. And so even advanced directives, I lead people to places that they can accomplish that free and gratis and pull those documents off of certain sites and have access to those. And if their will is simple, there's that you can accomplish that in a way that doesn't cost you money, depending on your type of estate and what's right for your situation. And so, honestly, the steps in the book are no more than the cost of the book. And then, of course, for funeral planning, it is considered one of the largest expenditures people make in their lives. So, you know, it can be economical, and, you know, I've seen funerals cost $5,000, and I've seen them cost $25,000. So it very much depends on what the person wants, and they can be less than that or more than that.
No, definitely got it. One of the things I think, even at this point of the interview, I am still not 100% happy and sold on this whole death topic. But in your book, you do make it very cool that this is a celebration of life, and I want to get into that direction real quick and start with the bucket list. How do we make this whole ordeal a celebration of life, and why the bucket list is one of those important things to acknowledge?
Okay. Well, your bucket list is how you fulfill your dreams throughout your life course. And, you know, a bucket list kind of has the impression that it's something saved for later in life. It's, you know, we're going to retire and have a bucket list. But the truth is that really for fulfilled living, a bucket list at a young age is a wonderful thing to implement and have many bucket lists and continue to rejuvenate your bucket lists and create new ones. Because I always say, think about Omar when you were young and your family planning things and the excitement that you had as a child for that next big thing that was being planned in celebration of you and a vacation and things that you bought into the concept and said, this is going to be fabulous, I can't wait, and the excitement associated with that. As we get older and get caught in the daily grind, and we become more about trying to get everything done in a given day and crisis management and everything else, we forget that there's that inner child in us that still really enjoys things to look forward to. And we should be creating those experiences for ourselves as adults. We don't have somebody really to do it for us anymore since we're all grown up, but we should be doing it for us and setting the blueprint for exciting life adventures today and into the future so that it makes everything we do in the daily grind really worth it and it lends new meaning. So, and I know you're not sold on the how you can celebrate the life, but I ask my readers in the beginning of the book, I have a question to ask you. Are you ready to die? And I say, I know every single reader, I'm confident, said a resounding, loud, capital no. At the end of the book, I ask them again. I'm going to ask you again, are you ready to die? I didn't ask you if you wanted to die. I said, are you ready, as in prepared? And there's a difference. Mm-hmm. So when you're prepared, which is what this book does, you really have a sense of peace about the life remaining in front of you, and you live it more vicariously than ever before.
Yeah, and I definitely think, you know, we're going to definitely get into the kick the bucket list, because that's definitely another important thing. But obviously the bucket list is something that you strive for every day and try to reach these goals that make your life more fulfilling, and it kind of helps like mapping those things out as well. So if you can get into the kick the bucket list, I think that was a really interesting concept as well as far as preparedness.
Thank you. And I made the kick the bucket list, of course, the idiom kick the bucket, with the intended meaning of to die. But I did a different spin on it, and I made the kick the bucket list about dying. And living is the deadline, where your bucket list is about living, and dying is the deadline. The kick the bucket list is kind of the reverse of that. And you need to get this stuff done now. This is about an opportunity to implement actions that smooth over past regrets, a feud, an argument, something that happened that created a divide between you and someone you care about. Even if it's yourself, I talk about forgiveness of others and including oneself if there's something in your past that you're not so thrilled at and about and it's held you back. and you've been hard on yourself about it, we talk about sending that packing because when you work your kick the bucket list and resolve all of those past regrets, it's a beautiful gift for yourself for elevated peace today. But if you had passed untimely, it's a terrible way to leave a burden on someone else that never had the chance to make it right with you. And so you're gone. You're probably not harboring that, but the people you leave behind have to live their life through saying, I really wish we would have resolved that. You know, if only I had had the chance, why was I so stubborn? And so I talk about, you know, apologies are easy. It's two words. It's I'm sorry. But boy, the anticipation leading up to those apologies makes it more often than not, not done.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm glad that you brought up the topic of just people left behind. Obviously, with that kind of thing of apologizing, we know costs. We know, like, what else, you know, do we have to concern ourselves about the people that we leave behind?
Well, it's really important that you think about the people you leave behind for many reasons. They carry on your legacy. You continue to live through them. And this book gives you the platform to literally let them have a written edition of your legacy through the sharing of your life story. And it's so important that you put things in place that allow them the opportunity to have moments of healing and to continue to feel your resonating love. And so there's sections in the book where you're going to fill in answers as the reader that are definitely going to allow smiles to be born at a later date from those who continue to live on after your passing. And when they're looking at them, they're going to smile, and they're going to cry, and they're going to love you and feel you. There's also the letters to loved ones that I have in the book, another opportunity for you to share your love with people after your departure and to be present when you're not here anymore through those written letters.
That was a very, very interesting part, like the letters to loved ones. I also wrote down when I was reading about, like, preserving your family tree and your family health history. Can you just explain why that's so important as well?
Well, it's really important because, you know, we're a fast-moving society and we're very busy, and we do find that we're geographically displaced today, and people move and relocate, and the family dinner table where the entire family once surrounded it is a little displaced in some families. And so with that, we find that some of our genealogical fingerprint is also not conveyed along the way. And so when you think about leaving a family tree, it's important. And yes, we have access to a lot of that stuff through the internet and stuff like that. But in the book, you get to talk about things beyond that, special dates, what was neat about that person. So you're able to share with those whom were born after you all about the family details and things that you know. The medical history is extremely important with medical advancements. We're finding all of the time how important it is to know what our ancestors had as far as ailments and diseases and medical issues. And so it's extremely important that we share that information because it could certainly benefit the other generations, your grandchildren, your future grandchildren. And so I added that part into the book because it's something that I'm always asking my mom, okay, what did the great grandma Kelly die from? And okay, and what did grandpa, great grandpa Kelly die from? And I go on and on about those things because I don't know them if she doesn't tell me. And the book resolves that problem for you because she's filling out the book, I'm filling out the book. And so the book kind of fills in the pieces of the puzzle that are so important for generations after us.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And I definitely really appreciated that this component that I never thought of as well. Like, you have, like, a social media policy going on and, like, your web presence policy. Can you just get into that a little bit? I think that's something that people don't think about at all today.
About how they can share the loss with other people, or tell me what you mean?
You could definitely get into that, but just even the idea that we all have all these social media outlets, you know, Facebook, Twitter, maybe Instagram, and like once we pass, like they're still out
there.
Oh
yeah. Okay.
So like
very true.
Yeah, if you could I know what you're talking about.
It is in the modern era something that wasn't an issue until, you know, more recent technological times. And so, in fact, in the past, it was often hard to find out about someone's passing. It was in print. And if you didn't have access to that publication or know somebody, you wouldn't know. Now, information is so accessible. People have all of these different accounts. And that section of the book where you talk about all of your different accounts and you log this information, why that's important is because something could happen to you. We've talked about accidental and unforeseen events. And let's say that your family has laid a loved one to passing, to rest, and they've passed maybe 6 months ago, and they're just now able to make it through a day of work. They're just now getting a little bit easier on grief and through bereavement. And then a Facebook alert goes out to everybody that was friends with that person, and it says, hey, wish so-and-so a happy whatever birthday. Boom, big setback. And that happens a lot, where if you don't share the account information, these accounts cannot be stopped. They continue to do this, and it's crippling oftentimes for families to have that happen to them. And so it has happened. Give so-and-so a shout-out for their birthday. So-and-so's not here anymore. And so it's sad, and it's surreal, and it's unpleasant, and it's a setback. So it's so important, and the pages in the book allow you to share all of that information so that upon your passing, your family can go in and responsibly handle those things, and it's not a mystery, and it's not going to come back later in a negative way.
Mm-hmm. So you find that most people elect, if they have the capability to actually do it, to shut down these sites, you know, that they, you know, people are on.
Well, and those types of sites are often shut down, but then there's also like living memorial sites that are created, and so they're often replaced even with a way to memorialize somebody. So with the modern era, there is just so many different ways to pay tribute to somebody, and it allows healing for the family because friends that maybe even didn't make the actual memorial or funeral service are able to send well wishes from far away and across the world. And so, you know, it does open up a whole new spectrum of helping people through the worst of times come together and celebrate the life, even if they can't be there in person. And it also gives the family an opportunity to create something that's a virtual living memorial on behalf of that person.
Okay, no, that is a really, really interesting idea. Again, something that never really crossed my mind. So,
right.
Again, the book is great. It's very informative. And one of the things that I really liked as well was the idea of writing your own obituary. Now, I never thought that was a possibility. But why do people do it? Why is it good? And what are your thoughts about it overall?
Well, people do it to save their family from a challenging hardship. And if you think about when somebody is writing an obituary, typically it's in the worst of times, in the worst of mindsets and frame of thinking. And it's in crisis mode. It's in grief mode and sadness. So it's not a great time to be creative and give this job what it deserves. But by writing them yourself, what a beautiful gift you've given your family. More importantly, you've conveyed your thoughts, and nobody knows your life better than you. So I call the obituary the Cliff Note versions of your life, hitting the highlights. And it's a hard task for a family to, in a state of grief, say, okay, what would she have wanted? Did she work there? Wait, where was she born? What city was that? Well, would
she
want us to mention this? I mean, people are struggling, and they're really not often happy with what they put together because they put it together under duress and just a scramble. And so you can tell when someone's written their own obituary. I have lots of great obituaries on my website. My kids call me the death nerd because I just love reading these obituaries where somebody just, you know, when someone dies, it's terribly sad. It's awful. It's a loss, and I get that. But there is a way to make it more about the love and the celebration than the loss. And when someone writes their own obituary, you're feeling the love.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I remember coming across a particular obituary. I'm not sure if the person wrote it or not, but it was amazing. And it was like, wow, you know, this life was something else. And, again, like only you know your life inside and out. So you are absolutely the best person to convey whatever you've been through and the love and the opportunities that you had in that life. And, it, like I said, to really reflect the true celebration of life. So I found that part of the book.
Oh, my gosh, and some of them are so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're so funny. I remember one where he said, and my newly wealthy daughter, which was funny because he wasn't saying, hey, I had a life insurance policy, but he was saying, hey, I had a life insurance policy. It was just really cute. And there's one on my website that is simple. The guy, I assume, was frugal in his life, and it's two words. It says, Doug died. And his picture. And I love that. Whoever Doug is, love Doug, because he kept it simple.
Yeah. So. No, it is really cool, and it's something that, again, gets to completely really show what you really want to leave and, again, takes the burden off the people you leave behind. So that's very, very good. I definitely wanted to get into, like, what you've seen or heard of as far as, like, the most, like, interesting or elaborate or celebratory types of funerals. Have you heard of some really over-the-top kind of ideas that you are like, wow, that's crazy, or that's something that I wouldn't do, but I think that's really cool? Have you had any of those types of observations?
Well, there's not too much I wouldn't do, because I think that funerals should be an epic celebration, and I work with people to try to create just magnificent farewells for them that kind of have their signature all over it. I would have to say, just from personal experience, the funeral that I did, and I did write about it in the book, but there was a pastor there and in the audience, and sitting in all of the pews there, as they came in, it was Spiders and Snakes by Jim Stafford playing. And I think they were like, okay. So somebody leaned over to somebody and said, I don't think I've ever heard that song at a funeral before. And the other person said, yep, and I don't think we'll ever hear it at a funeral again. But the funeral was to honor the person that was so interested and intrigued with reptiles and snakes their entire life. And so I had put all types of stuffed animal snakes all around there. And it was for them, and it was unusual. And people said it was the most amazing experience of a funeral they'd ever attended in their entire life. And they understood the person more after that funeral, they told me, than they had while that person was alive. And so I think that's what a funeral is meant to do, is to truly celebrate the uniqueness of you, however that is.
Have you ever had one where it's just a really like an all-out party, or it's all relatively always a somber kind of experience?
It is both, and it really depends on the folks that are putting the planning in place and the individual that passed. And I say in the book, make it you. It could be serious. It could be somber. It could be very peaceful, or it can just be an all-out party. And I give people tips for the party funeral, and I give them tips for if they want to go the more, the less dynamic approach. So I talk about both ways, and depending on the person, how that would be. And so I think that for each individual, their celebratory exit would be different. But I do think that it should speak to the way they lived, the things they believed in. And I don't know, I often think of life in ways of funerals, and I guess that is what makes me, you know, succeed in the field that I'm in, because I guess I just realize that we're all going to get there. And mm-hmm. I hear a song and I say, oh my goodness, that'd be a great song for a funeral. I don't think everybody does that, but I know I do that. Oh, that'd be a neat theme for a funeral. But I do it in a positive way. You know, I think positively, it's not grim, because I want to promote healing and I want to convey that person's love and to instill hope to the people left behind.
Now that you said that, I don't know which question to ask first, but I'll just throw it out there and I'll remember my second one. Now, how are you going to do your own funeral?
Oh, wow.
And I guess you take it in any order. Like, do your kids feel more comfortable about the whole situation, being that you're the one who's always around it and promoting death in a positive way? Do they feel a little better?
You threw me a zinger. Do you know, nobody has ever asked me that, and I can't tell you that I've ever answered it or even really thought about it for me personally. I think about it like for my family members that are older than me. My kids are teenagers, so, you know, as teenagers, you're invincible, and well, they call me the death nerd. They really don't think about life as we don't at that age. As coming to an end, because, you know, you're on top of the world. But I would definitely have it unusual, and I would incorporate things that were not so normal into what I did. And I think about, you know, I lost somebody when I was young that I very much cared about, a friend in high school, and, you know, that's always tragic. It happened after high school, but, you know, we were very, very close. And he loved Mustangs, cars. Of course, I love Mustang horses and any kind of horse. But they had his car there, a Mustang, and it was there all shiny and everything right there when you walked in. And everybody knew, you know, hey, that was for him. And it just wouldn't have even been right for that car to have not been there, because he and that car loved that brand of cars. So I certainly would have it very, very top-heavy in equine theme and horses, and I don't know, but it would not be normal and probably would have never been done.
Well, yeah, no, that it's an interesting take. I definitely was curious, especially about how your family would kind of have like a lesser taboo associated with it than an average family.
Well, I can tell you that my mother would call me all the time. It took me about 6 months to edit this book. And, you know, I was very involved in the process. And she would say, oh, my gosh, can you please be done? I'm tired of every day feeling like I'm going to die. When is this book going to be over so I can live again? And so, yes, my family does feel it. She's like, I'm so glad that book's over. I'm living again. Every day was about death. I thought I was going to die. So,
yeah,
but I would do
I guess
something
that's just
marvelous.
Of...
Yeah, I mean,
good,
it does
keep
people more in touch, you know, the older people in my life. They laugh at me, though. It's actually comical and humorous, and they tease me.
I can see that. I can see that. It's definitely not an easy topic. But, again, just your approach to it and the fact that they can joke you and tease you and joke about it makes it probably a lot more palatable than it would be for
very
normal
much.
Families. But yeah, that's really, really cool. Now, anything that you want to add as far as like the craziest kind of questions regarding like the whole process that you've received over the course of your work?
Well, I guess, you know, I recently had somebody really want me to dive into cryogenic freezing, and they just were really baffled by how that could be an alternative burial. And so cryogenic freezing was just really interesting. And so we talked about cryogenic freezing and what it was. And the reason it was brought up was because this interviewer was wondering if there would be a time that we don't have a lifespan of, you know, 100 years, or nonagenarians are 90 to 99 and centenarians 100 and up. I think the oldest mm-hmm. living lady, I have her right now on my Facebook page, I believe she's 116 years old. Mm-hmm. And he was asking if we could live to be 200, 300, 400 years old. And what was the scientific world actually thinking of that concept? And so then I said, well, you know, obviously there's hope for future medical advances in that realm because of cryogenic freezing, which is low temperature preservation of humans and pets, and that cannot be sustained by medicine. You know, that you do this with hope of resuscitation in the future. It's done within minutes of death, and you're cryopreserved in a cryogenic suspension type state, so that hopefully someday, with advanced technology, your body can be brought back. So there is definitely several companies that do this, and it's big in Russia. A big company in Russia does it, but they believe that your memory sustains in a person, and your identity is stored in the cell structures in your brain. And so I'd have to say that our conversation about cryogenic freezing was not typical for what I usually discuss.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. One of the questions, I just wanted to know if you went deep into it a little bit to talk about a little bit about the cost of something like that. Is that really, really expensive?
It's $30,000 and up, and there is people currently now that are in the state of cryogenic suspension. Their bodies are in a cryogenic freezing state, and other people are doing it and signed up for it. And so a lot of people fund these through life insurance policies paid to the company that offers the service. And so I think that it has its following, and it has its group of people that are buying into the concept that says, hey, you know, I'm going to do this. And part of the conversation that was so unusual was the interviewer asked me, he said, what would that be like? Like, you know, 300 years from now, you're brought back in and you're introduced to, you know, you're from back then and you're introduced to these people that came 300 years after you. Well, what is that like? And so I don't know. The conversation got deep and unexpected. It's interesting.
Yeah, no, it's definitely interesting. I guess, you know, 30,000 and up, that's just to do the freezing, but there's got to be like a maintenance cost to preserve the body, right, for all that time?
Do you I think that is actually the fee to do
really?
That. And so, yeah, but other people just freeze certain parts. So, you know, there's entire body cryogenic freezing, and I'm not an expert in it. I'm just, you know, a distant enthused in the overall concept of it, but anybody that's interested in that can certainly do a Google search on cryogenic freezing and learn more than I know at this point.
Yeah, that one you'll refer out, you know.
Yeah, I refer that one out to the scientists and such.
Yeah, that's cool. But yeah, again, really great book that even showed different options, which was, again, very, very interesting as far as that goes. Well, I'll be honest, I do feel way better. I personally am going to go through this workbook and fill out every part of the workbook portion of the book. And I think it's great. I think one day everybody's going to really, really buy this book. It's going to be a hit. There's no doubt about it, because it makes it simple for you to actually deal with the process, and it you don't really feel like, I was playing around with the workbook portion, and you don't really feel like you're doing something that's about your death, which is kind of cool too. So
yeah, you're kind of going through it, and it's like those things that kids used to pass around in school that were just little questionnaires that were fun to pass the time.
Yeah.
I made it simple and easy on purpose, and that's what it feels like when you're going through it. And in fact, it's enriching. you're smiling when you're going through this. You're kind of laughing. And it's kind of like the secret that you're keeping that will unfold later for those in your life. And so it's an enjoyable process as you work your way through it. And I just really appreciate you using your show as a platform to encourage people towards the book. And it just got released on January 8th. So I think we're just about 2 weeks out of the official copyright release. And so I appreciate you bringing the story of this book to your audience.
Oh, no, this is my pleasure. Like I said, it's obviously it relates to every single one of them. And, you know, the show basically is about just doing, you know, having things easier in your life to enhance your life. And this book definitely does that for a number of reasons. Even, like, again, getting back to the workbook portion, the questions really made you have an opportunity to reflect. And it was that's very, very important. That's something that I really believe in as well. But I definitely want to give you an opportunity for any parting words and how to get this book, all your social media platforms, your website. Just give the audience all that you have to get in touch with you and learn more about you.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, the book is available on my website, and that's www.sunrisesandsunsetsbook.com, and that's a plural on sunrises and sunsets, so sunrisesandsunsetsbook.com. You can get autographed copies. I'll be happy to autograph any books bought on the website. Just send me a request if that's what you want. They're also available, if it's more convenient, on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and where other fine books are sold. And we have a Facebook page, so when you go to the website, you just click on the little Facebook thing and for Twitter and Facebook and everything else. So if you go to the website, it kind of opens up the portal to our other media platforms. And there's some great information on the website. I share stuff, and there's exclusive reader pages. And so I encourage people to subscribe. I give away a book a month, and I welcome to visit the website. And I want people to plan. It's just so epically important. So my New Year's resolution that I put out to people, and it's in my blog, was for people to actually, instead of planning your life this year, I wanted them to plan their death enjoyably and have fun doing it.
Yeah, and, you know, you're going to laugh, but I reading the book, I just want to get that part out of the way now. Like, when you read the book, you kind of just say, like, hey, you know what, if I do this now, and I, you know, you, especially after listening to you, you have such a great perspective on it, you get it done. Just go ahead, do it, get it out the way. And
it's nagging at you now. And so you will be rewarded. Yeah, on the backside, you feel good. You feel good. And if things change and you grow in different directions or different perspectives over your life course, Omar, you just go in there and update it. So the book grows with you as your life grows along the way.
Absolutely. And just for a marketing kind of thing for you, you should did you fill the workbook out yourself yet or no?
Yes. And my mother actually has two workbooks going. She has the one from my manuscript where I sent her pages to proof. And so now I have her moving things off of the loose papers in the manuscript and moving them into a real book. And we have talked about all of this stuff in the book. And so I have her kind of putting it in a more concise manner in a bound book rather than all the loose papers that she was working on. But she loved the process. And people that have worked the book say that it truly inspired a new beginning. The editors that worked on it, Cleone Reed, who is Robert Reed Publishers. So Robert Reed's wife, Cleone, was my editor, and she literally said that this book changed her life. And she's 70 years old. I love her. She's talented, gifted, beautiful. And she said that it inspired her to get things in front of her and to stop ignoring some things. And so we finished the book, and she scheduled, as soon as it was done, her first bucket list item, which was ziplining in Costa Rica at 70
years
old.
Oh, wow.
And so they were in Costa Rica for 3 weeks doing, I think, the biggest zip lines out there. And she is just renewed, and she doesn't stop, and she is just marking through them and adding. And she's definitely somebody that inspires me that this work can change people's lives. And she was already living full, and she's unstoppable now. So she said the book brought that to her life.
Yeah, no, I could definitely see that. I could definitely see that. But yeah, you know what? When this book hits, and you know, you really really start seeing a lot of people getting into this. You know, your actual completed workbook is going to be worth a lot, you know, as well. So keep that in mind. Maybe for your kids to make some money off of when your day.
Oh, mine. Oh, you're so funny. Yes.
Years.
Yes, and I do hold workshops, by the way. That's the other thing that I do. So if someone doesn't want to work it alone and they need some hand-holding and they need a leader, so Omar, you can, like, form a little group and lead your workshop, and on my website is the Leader's Guide, where it's kind of like teacher's notes, where groups can form. They can either have me or one of my associates, or they can get the Leader's Guide and lead their own group. But some people decide that I don't want to do it solo. They want to do it in a group and be social about it. So that's a fun way to do the book as well.
Yeah, I was going to say that. That's probably even more fun. So
mm-hmm. It is, and it gets crazy.
I can imagine. Oh, wow.
Yes, because people share their ideas and all this crazy stuff they want to do, and it just fuels and grows. It's fun.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much for being on the show and, you know, making us all aware of this important topic, and I wish you nothing but success in its, you know, in this release, and, you know, thank you. I can't thank you enough. It's a great book. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate what you do, and helping people live fuller and more enhanced and rich lives. So thank you so much for allowing me to be part of it today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you again. Well, you have a good night.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. That was Holly Kelly. I knew this was going to be a good show. I knew the topic was going to be a little difficult. But, however, I think she did awesome. I mean, you have to go through that workbook, because it's very interesting to see the dynamics that really, really take place in the thought process about the actual process of death. And just, again, like I had mentioned to Holly, just I'm kind of inspired to get some of this stuff done. I mean, just read the book just to get the bucket list thing going, because that was even way more cooler. You know, you actually putting something in effect that you're going to start living your life a little bit more. Well, thanks again, as always, for listening to the Wellness Ultimatum Radio Show. I'm your host, Omar Kramerbach. Have a good night.